turn. It's time for discussion and interviews about the world of golf you won't hear anywhere else. Here are your hosts, Nick Heidelberger and Joe Simons.
Hello, hello. Welcome into another episode of At the Turn. Nick and Joe with you, joined by a special guest, the returning champ, president, CEO, head designer of Matchstick Golf, Dane Delgado. Hi, Dane.
How's it going, guys? Forgot to mention shipping clerk, packaging expert, administrative assistant to myself. I answer all my own emails. That's right. Thanks for having me on.
Very impressive.
Meetings, all that stuff.
Yeah.
We're very excited. It's Masters Week. We have a fun bit. In addition to identifying 12 golfers that will not win the Masters a little bit later, we're also going to play overrated, underrated, and properly rated. Before we do any of that, a reminder, please rate and review the podcasts. Give us 5 stars, Spotify, Apple, both places. Don't just pick one. Give us a review on both. We're greedy. I could give you the handicap report, but I'm not going to do that. I played golf on another course with punched greens. I hit the ball great, putted like a real jerk. I'm a 9.3, Nick, so we're going the wrong direction. But we've got 6 rounds to make it up. None of my 6 rounds, like the farthest away, are going to count towards my handicap. So we're working with gravy.
Your next 6 rounds are not going to fall off, is what you're saying?
That's correct.
That's two things. You've got a huge opportunity. Also, you get to erase quite the slump, it sounds like, from last year at some point, which is all good. That's all good.
Yeah, I definitely, around the corner club last year, really, really peaked for the season. I lost my under par round. And we're still a single-digit handicap, so things are looking good. Let's dive right into the Masters preview. This is a small thing that I want to nerd out about for a second. Vern Lundquist, it is his last Masters announcing. He has been ushered out of the 16th tower. Or he will be after this tournament. And he really has the two best broadcasting calls in tournament history. The one that's more recent is Tiger Woods' famous chip on the 16th hole where it rolls down the hill, the Nike swoosh hangs on the lip, and it falls in. And he just goes, "Wow! In your life, have you seen anything like that?" And then, to me, the best one ever is Nicholas in 86. And the camera view, it really adds to it. You're looking at Nicholas putting down the hill on the 17th green. And this is when Nicholas is just ripping off birdies. And the putt is approaching the hole. And he goes, "Maybe." And as Nicholas puts his hands in the air after he makes his putt, he goes, "Yes, sir!" Like almost in unison with Nicholas raising his arms up. So to me, those are the two best calls in tournament history. I also love that Vern Lundquist kind of thinks Nance is a douchebag. That's always a really sort of fun subplot to the Masters, and they have to pretend they like each other. Vern called him out years ago, basically for pre-writing his little things that he says when someone wins the Masters, which isn't a huge deal, but a really funny thing for broadcasters to be bitchy about. So I'm gonna miss him. He's an old curmudgeon. He's really, really good. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on Vern before we move on.
I think one of his best calls is we're forgetting the one. No, it's Happy Gilmore.
Oh, that's so true. He says a robust and economically diverse crowd here with us today.
Also, RIP to the legend, the dad from, I'm blanking on his name, but a great Canadian actor, the dad from Freaks and Geeks, and also Jackass. That guy just passed.
The Jackass guy just passed. Good call. RIP, one of our best character actors. He's at a sizzler in the sky right now. Let's move on to overrated, underrated, and properly rated. So I put a half dozen categories together here. And if you guys have any other ones besides this, please let me know. But I figured we'd go through things that the Masters is kind of known for or perhaps associated with, or a thing happening this year. We kind of do a roundtable to figure out if these are overrated, underrated, or properly rated. First of all, does my list, is this list comprehensive? Do you guys have other ones besides this that you want to add?
We could maybe spitball after this. It's definitely not comprehensive because the Masters has like probably hundreds of quirks that are unique to the Masters. So we could go on for days. But this is definitely the highlights. And there might be a couple things we think of that maybe we spitball at the end.
Okay, I love it. Well, let's start with the Masters website. I think for the past 3 or 4 years, Everyone falls all over themselves to compliment the Masters website, how clean it is, how easy it is to watch every single shot, the fact that it's free, the fact that you can follow the entire tournament on your laptop if you want with an internet connection. So I'll pose this to you, Nick, first. Is the Masters website overrated, underrated, or properly rated?
No matter how much praise this thing gets, it is underrated. And the bottom line is, if it was easy to do, everybody would do it. The reason why we're so thrilled every year when this comes around is because there's not another sports viewing experience like it all year. So if it were easy, if it were overrated, then just everybody would do it. But that's not the case. It's underrated. I don't care how much praise it gets. This is underrated.
I completely agree, especially in the field of like modern sports watching. It's like, Joe, you and I are experiencing this. And then now, Nick, you also get to experience this, I'm sure, now that you're back in Idaho. There's no way for you to watch Blazers games in Portland, Oregon. It's the stupidest thing. Like, every video game has microtransactions in it. You're like, there's some great videos online that like YouTubers have made of like, here's it. If you want to watch every movie in like, let's say before Harry Potter was in one place, you know, it's like you have to subscribe to like 8 services to get all 8 movies. It's just like, they can nickel and dime you at everything, and it's free. Just good old, like, hey, we're getting like our ad revenue covered by, you know, sponsors at the course, sponsors in the patches, you know, commercials, whatever, like straightforward, and we'll let you see it for free, just like it was when we were 8 years old and just watched turned on CBS. It's great.
This is unanimous. I think it's underrated. I think this is a classic build the plane out of the black box situation. Whoever is designing and in charge of the Masters website needs to be in charge of every governmental, healthcare, economic, banking. You enter industry here, they need to be in charge of the IT. It's unbelievable. It's fast. It's an incredible product. I don't think there's really any way to properly or overrate something as good as this. Next one, Dane, you go first with this one. Everyone loves talking about how cheap the food is at Augusta National. Pimento cheese, $1.50. Ice cream sando, give me $1.25. Is this overrated, underrated, or properly rated?
I'm going to say that it's properly rated. And the only caveat is that's because you, a lot of people can't go to the Masters. They don't get to attend and experience that. They get to hear about it. But there's sort of two things that go in its favor to make it sort of not like talked about, you know, not talked about too much, is that those are incredible prices and it's an insane cost. Like, actually, I bumped into a guy who knew both you and me from TV, Joe, yesterday at Wildwood.
Sounds like a great guy.
Golfing for seven years.
Upstanding citizen of Portland.
he did do that thing where he's like, "Are you Dane?" I'm like, "Yeah." I'm like, "I used to follow you on Twitter," but then like I didn't ask a follow up. It was like, "Do you hate me or do you like me?" You know, it's like, did I say something shitty to you? But he's been golfing for 7 years. Good dude. Talked to him for a little bit, and he said he won the lottery 7 years into playing golf.
Oh, he's my going. God.
He's going. But, you know, like we're talking about costs and stuff. It's like it's crazy expensive to get there. So it's a great addition. The other thing is like, have you had a pimento cheese sandwich? Somebody made them at a Masters Watch thing we had a couple years ago. I couldn't stop eating it. Like, you know, like little tiny little finger sandwiches. It's so good. Like, it's great. So I think it's properly rated.
Nick?
This is overrated. is this a $20 bill in my pocket or a $1 bill? You guys don't care. Nobody gives a shit. Who cares? We're not among the lucky few who are going to be on the grounds. It does not matter unless you're standing in line with $5 in your pocket wondering how you're going to get an appetizer, a drink, and an entree for that $5. It does not matter. You go to Gillette Stadium, a beer is $18. Nobody cares if you're not in the stadium. Nobody even in the stadium cares. People who are there would pay whatever they're asking for these concessions. It's kind of cool. It gets them extra attention that they're like super cheap. They have like 1970s prices. That's neat. Nobody cares. It's overrated.
I'm with Nick. I also think it's overrated. I think it is very cool if you get to go to the Masters, but I've never been to the Masters, so I don't really give a shit either. And to your point about the pimento cheese sandwiches, Dane, I've never had one, but I did watch Tom Kim on Full Swing eat one, and I felt like I was – the way that man enjoyed that sandwich, it felt like I was eating it. He just kept saying, my trainer's not going to like this, but I don't care. He's just shoving him in his mouth 2 at a time. Tom Kim, 1 season 2 of Full Swing. I love that guy so much. So, okay, 2 overrated, 1 properly rated. Third one. I'm going to start with this overrated, underrated, or properly rated. Tiger Plane. I'm going to say underrated. I think we're at a point now where this ain't going to happen too much anymore. And Tiger didn't play in the Players. Eldrick's been pretty quiet recently. I don't know how much more we're going to see of competitive Tiger. So I think we have to enjoy it while we can. I'm going to go underrated on Tiger playing in the Masters. I think it's great. Hopefully he makes the cut. Hopefully he's healthy enough. But I think this one is underrated. Nick, let's go to you.
Properly rated. It's not possible to underrate Tiger Woods, because anytime he does anything, it instantly blows up, because every publication and space that covers golf makes most of their money from, like, whenever Tiger Woods does anything. That's why he wins the PIP while he plays like two tournaments a year and makes one cut. So it's not possible to underrate Tiger. It's definitely not overrated, because, like you said, Joe, it's, if you think of what he's gone through his entire career or the last 18 months, like, pick one, it's incredible what he's doing. He also won this thing pretty recently. So it's definitely not overrated. It's impossible to be underrated. That only leaves properly rated.
Yeah, I think that's, it's hard, because I wonder if, is as time goes on, whether it will be underrated. And I really hope that's not the case, because the thing that Tiger has is not just, it doesn't just affect the Masters, because people, first of all, people turn into the Masters no matter what. It's the NBA Finals. It's the Super Bowl, even though it's in April. It has all the stars. Everybody wants to see, you know, your top players sort of crumble when they're walking up and down the hills on day three. But Tiger does still give it the boost. But what Tiger also does is keeps people watching golf for, you know, the next 2 months, maybe a little bit more than they would have, especially if he does well or if there's storylines around him or whatever it is. It keeps them wrapped in. And that's really important, because all of that, again, I'm thinking about it from a business sense, like even how it affects, say, Matchstick or something. But, you know, all that trickles down, and we're in the zone now where we're trying to hold on to all these COVID golfers, and Tiger having that trickle effect is really important. And I really hope it's not underrated as time goes on. But I think Nick's probably right. I think it's properly rated.
All right, next one, Nick, you kick us off. Overrated, underrated, properly rated. Amateur participation in the Masters. All kinds of amateurs getting into the field. The runner-up of the U.S. Amateur gets to play in the Masters. So is that feverish participation overrated, underrated, properly rated?
It's underrated. This year, we had an amateur win a PGA Tour event. These guys are good. I think that used to be like the PGA Tour slogan. Like, these guys are good. Yes. Like, they are legitimate. Like, they're going to be professionals very soon. Like, if you're an amateur and you're getting into the Masters, it's because, like, you're on the fast track to the PGA Tour or live, whatever, pick your tour. But you're that caliber of player. And the fact that, like I said, we had an amateur win on tour this year, it just kind of validates. And it's a super fun story. They're the only players in the field who you don't have to know anything about to be rooting for. Like, if there's an amateur who's like two strokes back after Friday or Saturday, you're like, oh my God, I'm pulling so hard for this kid. Let me find out whatever I can about him. Like, is he missing class to be in this tournament right now? Or like, what's going on with this kid?
I feel like it's actually probably properly rated, because I'm not sure people give it that much juice, especially because what ends up happening typically is like, oh, he, like, you know, the guy ends like T35, and then you check in and see what he did on Saturday, and he's like, he shot a 79. So it's like, I'm not sure it really matters no matter what. So I think it's probably properly rated, if not maybe slightly overrated based on how much certain people talk it up. But I'm not super excited about it.
I'm kind of with Dane. I'll go with properly rated. But to Nick's point, we did have an amateur who I think was either tied for the lead or one back after 36 holes last year, Sam Bennett, finishing T16. That was the dude with the really kind of weird swing. He like really loads his hips and goes down, but still doesn't hit the ball very far. Kind of a quirky guy. He turned pro, hasn't done much recently. But you do have a lot of interesting storylines, and you do have the potential for someone to contend like you did last year or even win the tournament. I don't think it's out of the question for an amateur to seriously contend. Now, it's a lot different playing two good rounds than it is standing next to Brooks Koepka at Amen Corner hitting 12 green. Like, those are two wildly different things. They're miles apart. I do think for the most part, the amateur thing is a little bit overblown, just because you do have some guys who are probably not going to break 80 in the field, but you do have the Sam Bennett's crop up, and Nick Dunlap did win a PGA Tour event this year, even if the field was a little bit watered down because of LIV. So I'll say properly rated.
One last word on that too. Yeah. You get all these people saying like, I'd love to see a scratch golfer go out there just to kind of be like the baseline or whatever. Like, that's kind of what this is too. Like, they are amateurs. Like, they could be at your club, like playing in your club championship. You know, winning shop credit for taking you in league on Tuesday night. So, like, yeah, they're really good, but like, also that's kind of what this is. So it's a little bit the best of both worlds.
Okay, next one, Dane, you kick us off. Underrated, overrated, properly rated, the green jacket.
Oh my goodness, I'm not sure it can be overrated. Oh well, you know what? I think we learned a little bit more recently about how, like, what the rules are around the green jacket, like when you get it, how you have it, that kind of thing. That part I think is kind of stupid. Like, the fact you don't get to just, like, you know, walk into Walmart with it like 6 months later, you know what I mean? Like, that kind of sucks. But like, who doesn't want that? Like, Matchstick is releasing some stuff for the Masters this year, and one of them is a piece of wall art that is the green jacket. And it's like, you're never going to win one, but now you can have one. That's the pitch. You know what I mean? Like, have it on your wall, baby. So it's like, I think it's properly rated, though, in that sense.
Nick?
Overrated. Doesn't really look very good. The fact that it's like the members of Augusta National allow the winner of the Masters to like don their like membership jacket is kind of like dumb to me. I also think it's dumb that like people are like, yeah, Tiger Woods has six of these in his closet. Like Dane said, no, he doesn't. He's got six in a closet at Augusta National that he can only touch when he's on the grounds there. Like, how dumb is that? Like you said, you should be able to wear it to, like, I think Bubba Watson wore his to Waffle House, like when he had the lease on his own personal green jacket that he was allowed to take it off the grounds. Like, it is dumb. Let them wear it wherever they want. Make it look a little bit nicer. I don't know. It's overrated. It's nice. It's a fine tradition. It's overrated.
I'll go in between. I think it's properly rated. I think Nick is right. What has always bugged me about the green jacket is like, oh, look, there's Vijay Singh and there's Ben Crenshaw and there's the VP of finance for fucking Hewlett Packard who's got one on. What are we? Why? Why does this man get a green jacket? Vijay Singh stared down Tiger Woods in his prime. That's how he earned his green jacket. This guy is through 15 generations of wealth. I cannot stand that they. It should be a different color jacket. I find that really irritating. That being said, it is like the ultimate totem that you can possibly have for like any sort of trophy. It's really, really cool. It sucks that you don't get it in your closet, but I think it's one of the most identifiable, you know, trophies, if we'll call it that, in sports, is someone wearing the green jacket. And bring it back to Happy Gilmore, as this podcast always seems to. I love that it was the gold jacket, green jacket. Who gives a shit? What a line from Happy. But I think it's properly rated. It's cool, but I can't believe a bunch of dorks who work in companies have it. It's not fair.
These guys are playing pro-ams at the Travelers Championship. They got green jackets.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, imagine playing a pro-am with Greg Norman and you're a member of Augusta National. You have a green jacket and he doesn't. Doesn't quite seem right. This is the last one I have on my list. But again, if you guys want to have some we throw after this, please do it. I'm really enjoying this. Overrated, underrated, properly rated, the par three contest. I'm going to say wildly overrated. I wish, and this is maybe the most Joe Simons take possible, I wish these people would take this thing seriously. The fact that kids are out there running around, wives are hitting tee shots, caddies are hitting. Let's see these guys try to take it deep. I want to see someone go 10 under for 9 holes, and this whole notion that they are too gutless to try to win this tournament because no one who's ever won the par 3 contest has won the Masters. Someone sack up, say you're going to be the first person to win the par 3 and the green jacket. There's so much potential, but I just don't like the way they execute it. So I'm going to say overrated. Dane?
I think it's hard because we essentially end up with like an NFL Pro Bowl situation or All-Star game for the NBA, right? Where it's like, yeah, they won't sack up and like do it. But it does have it's almost the counterbalance to what we're talking about with the green jacket, where it's like, it's fun. It's a quirky thing. Like the year that we all thought that, oh God, Tony, we all thought Tony was going to win and win it. And then he just like annihilates his ankle after a hole in one. But like, look at how much he cared about it. Like everybody was like going crazy. Like it's super fun. So like, I do think that's a great counterbalance to sort of the stuffiness or the smell of its own farts that Augusta seems to have a little bit. But I think that, yeah, like the fact that guys like don't want to play it because I think there's some sort of jinx does kind of spoil it a little bit. So I do think it's a little overrated.
Yeah, somebody needs to teach the people who are afraid to win the par three contest about probability. Because, like, the chances that you're going to beat, like, 100 guys in a golf tournament on Wednesday and then beat 125 or 110 guys or whatever in the Masters that same week, like, even if you're the best player, like, it's just probability. It's just the likeliness. It's not, it doesn't have to do with a jinx. It's just, you know, it's just the odds. It's just the odds. So it will be nice to see them, like, really, like, have like some sort of rivalry, like Rahm and Scheffler, like coming down the last two holes, like, and really going at it, like stuffing them, like taking on some risk reward, trying to win this thing. I don't know if they want it to be that, because they could easily like throw some juice behind it. I don't know, like cash or, you know, like a cool, like a gold jacket. I don't know. Like there could be something cool they could do with it. I think it's properly rated because, you know, I don't think people hype it up more than it is, which would be the definition of overrated. I think they're just like, oh, it's just fun thing. And if you're like really a junkie and you just can't wait to see Augusta on your TV, like you can watch this thing. So that's fine. But I'd like to see it, like you said, like some intensity in that thing.
You know, the other thing I'll say about that too, is that there, you know, we especially we've watched Full Swing. We're modern men in a modern age where it's like, we all like understand sort of like the sports psychology these guys are going through, but you're kind of telling on yourself. If you think that like there's some sort of jinx or like no one's ever done that, so I won't ever be able to do it if I do that. It's like, you're kind of telling on yourself, like you are making that happen by the fact that you're doing that. Like, you don't have the guts to win on Sunday if you don't have the guts to go out and like kick shit at the par three contest. I'm
if
sorry.
You're afraid to win on Wednesday, you're gonna be afraid to win on Sunday.
I mean, it's true though. It's true. Like, you don't have the mental fortitude for that. Like, if it's you're totally letting that get to you, you probably don't have the like the mental fortitude at that moment to be a Masters champion.
I think we're all on the same page, but I will say one of the best moments from the par three contest recently. Well, a couple. Siwoo Kim's wife stepped up there and stuck it to like a foot, which was pretty awesome. But then one of Jack Nicklaus's, I think like 37 grandchildren stepped up there and he knocked in a hole in one in front of like Tom Watson and Gary Player. And it's like, that's going to be one of the best moments of his life and probably one of the best of Jack Nicklaus's life. So there are cool moments like that, but so often it's just like, you know, some dipshit 12-year-old just topping it in the water. It's like, well, let's just play this tournament, like, for real. We could get it done in 2 hours. We'll have some pimento cheese and just call it a day. What are we doing?
They should make, you know what they could do is make DQs more of, like, an embarrassment like it is in a real tournament. Like, ooh, like, Tony Finau was DQ'd at Augusta. You know what I mean? Like, that's what the headlines would be. And it'd be like, yeah, from the par three contest. But like,
Nick,
you know, like,
Nick, think about this from a journalist's perspective. Like, how do I get the best clicks?
Make them feel some shame if, you know, if they get DQ'd or anything like that.
Do you guys have any other topics you want to go through? Or should we move on?
I had one.
Okay.
And I hope it doesn't apply this year. But you remember 2 years ago, the broadcast would not shut the fuck up about the sand. It was just like, oh my god, every comeback commercial break there was just like huge, like, you know, Vosats about sand, and I'm just like, oh my god, dude. Like, oh, the sand is so white. It's like, do you guys know how camera exposure works? Like, you just turn the dial up. Like, I don't want to hear about sand this year. That's it. So the sand, overrated.
I was gonna say, how do you, is that overrated and underrated?
Well, I would say the sand is underrated. People don't appreciate how consistent you know, how hard it is to get the same sand on 18 as you get on 4? Come on.
Dane, while you're on a roll and before we get to our picks, what's going on with Matchstick this spring? I know you got a lot of stuff coming up for the Masters.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm excited. So we actually have email subscribers the day we're recording this. But by the time this goes out, everybody should be able to go onto matchstickgolf.com and get our 2024 Masters release. So we've done something cool. We re-released our pimento cheese golf ball marker. It's finished in gold. It's got the wrapper. It's really cool. We have the azalea marker from last year. You can get those in a pack this year, and you get a discount off, and you get a hat clip because, you know, that way you don't lose it. But the real thing that we did this year is we did a bunch of art. So Matchstick sort of started to move in that direction. At our core, you know, we're an art-based golf company. And so I made three of them. We have some like limited edition wall art that I've started making. It's laser cut out of wood. And then I do a lot of painting. These ones also have gold accents. It's actually finished in gold leaf. So we have the pimento, and they're all like 13 by 13, something like that, or 13 by 14, depends on what it is. So we have the pimento cheese you can buy, we have the azalea, and then we have the gold jacket. And like, you know, all the buttons on the gold jacket are actually, you know, in gold leaf, or the whole edge is made in gold
green jacket.
We started talking about it. Oh my god. Like, oh yeah, the Green Jacket.
I just want to make sure people know. It's, gold yeah.
Hey man, Gold Jacket, Green Jacket, who gives a shit? But so those are one of one. So we're never going to make those again. Or sorry, excuse me. We may make those again. I don't know. But we probably won't. But we only made one of them. So if you get them, they're yours, baby. And the other one that's really cool is, so my mom is the artist of the family. She's actually an art teacher. And so she's been doing a lot of shows. Her two mediums are, she works in clay, but her big thing is like block printmaking. So you take a piece of wood and it's like essentially like, you know, you roll ink onto it and you press it down on paper. And so we did Tiger Woods, like his famous yell from winning the Masters. And so we did that in an ink block print. And she actually did it out of linoleum because it depends. And, you know, depending on how fine the details would be, sometimes you got to do out of that. But it's great. It's got like, I think, 10 colors in it. And then she added like sort of like on his shirt and in his hat, there's like golf ball dimples in it. It looks really cool. And it's done on like pH neutral, like Japanese masa paper. And the other cool thing about it is they're numbered and they're signed. But they also, they can never be remade again because they've been made out of what's called a reduction print. So you do like the first layer of color, which is like the biggest one usually. And then you carve out what you need. You do how many prints you're going to do. So we did 15 only this year. And then for the next layer, you put your design that you've printed on another piece of paper and you trace it and then you cut it out. So by the end, the linoleum block is destroyed. So you can't actually physically make it again. It's really cool. Like the ink is like, it sits on the paper in a really nice way. It's got some cool texture to it. So you look at it in the light, different angles. And then also like the cool thing about these block prints is, you know, they're all handmade. So like it's your registration is what we call like, you know, lining these things up. And so the registration, you know, it's done by hand. So like it's off like a little bit by like, you know, half a millimeter or a millimeter in each direction. So each single one is unique to itself. And then because it's ink on paper, there's like a lot of cool like bleed between the two colors where they match. It's like the coolest thing ever. I'm so glad I got to do it with my mom. It's just like it's super fun. So yeah, so that's kind of like the bulk of our Masters release this year, and I'm really stoked about it. We get to do some really cool stuff you just don't see in the golf space, and that's kind of what we do. So I'm excited.
That's exciting, man. Congrats. It sounds like a lot of good stuff going on over at Matchstick Golf. Now, before we get to our picks.
I got a couple questions for
please.
Dave.
Go ahead.
We got the CEO in the booth. We gotta have the conversation.
Go ahead.
I have two questions. All right. Masters releases for all these like brands, like you're not allowed to say like it's your Masters release, right? Like everyone's doing like for the year's first major or for like the unofficial start of golf season. And like they can't say like it's our Masters edition. They always say like special, you know, Magnolia edition or like what's that all about? Do you know, or are you just violating all sorts of copyright to do this?
I think that depends on what, how big your company is and what you're you know, so like, you know, Augusta is famously very litigious about that stuff, but it's also like, you know, we're not making like a retail product of like the Green Jacket is like, everything's copyrighted, Butler Cabin, Green Jacket, all that kind of stuff. They probably have Gold Jacket copyrighted too, but, you know, like we're not making like a repeatable like retail product that could be sold, like that we could like then sell it wholesale, that's sold at like another store or some like, you know, a green grass client, things like that. Mm-hmm. Like the Masters, like the Green Jacket that I made is like my artistic interpretation of that. It's a very specific one time piece of physical art that is doesn't like overlap that. And mm-hmm. So, you know, if I get a C&D, it's like, whatever, you know, like hopefully if it comes in the mail, the item's already sold. It's like, well, okay, I won't sell it again, you know? Yeah. So I kind of honestly, like, there's definitely things you have to skirt, but which is why, like, some people have made, say, like green jacket golf ball markers and they get popped immediately. It's like, we're never going to do that. But like a pimento cheese sandwich is a pimento cheese sandwich. And there's no shame in saying, like, oh, well, it's related to the Masters, which is on TV, but it's not claimed to be part of it. I'm not taking them. It's not their pimento cheese or whatever. They don't make that product already. There's no overlap. So I think we're safe, but you know.
Okay. One more question. And I'm sorry, but get so off topic, but the hat clip, what's your guys' take on the hat clip off the course? Because for me, I want to stick the hat clip on my hat. I don't want to think about it again until December, right? I just want to always know where my ball marker is. I don't want to think about it, but this was my play back when I was like 22 and people were like, what are you doing? You look like an idiot with a golf ball marker at the corner club, you know? So is it cool? Is it not cool? What's my play here?
Well, I have started wearing a hat clip all the time. Two reasons. One is that Matchstick makes a very cool hat clip. It's in the shape of the flame at the top of our match head logo. So it's not just like some round thing or whatever. And then also, you know, all of our markers are colorful and interesting. It's like it adds a piece of flair to your head. The other thing is Matchstick has, since the very beginning, has been very big in Japan. And so, which we've been very lucky for. But I have been, you know, Matchstick's been tagged in a lot of photos of people in Japan wearing sort of golf stuff as streetwear. And so I've seen a lot of like our markers on hat clips of people like in the middle of Tokyo, you know, like, or like an outlying area like Chiba or something like that, you know, where it's just like, so like I started wearing it just being like, you know, I'm bringing it back and I'm making it mine, you know, and like, I feel like I like with the, based on the way the rest, if you're walking around with like your a white polo tucked into you know, a belt, and if you're like walking into the bar with cleats on, you know, maybe that's a little bit different. But I think if you like, you know, dress the part or whatever, you can like, oh, that guy's really pulling it off. So I like that. We did start making a version of our hat clip that actually pins. It doesn't have a clip back. It has a pin back. So you can put it anywhere you want, like put it on your golf bag, put it on like your head cover for your putter, that kind of thing. But it has the same like super strong industrial magnet in case you want to have a magnet, you don't want to keep it in your pocket, but you don't like the hat clip thing, or you don't want to have to worry about taking it off or forgetting that it's on your hat and looking like a dork in the bar, you can do that. So like you can check that out, actually, if you want to go to matchstickgolf.com.
Who's giving you shit for wearing a hat clip, Nick?
Well, I haven't worn one in years since the last time I lived here in Idaho. And I used to just wear one. It was just on my hat. I had like one hat. That's all I could afford. And it was just always there.
Yeah.
Maybe I just have a go-to golf hat that I don't wear off the course. And I just keep the clip just lives there. Maybe that's
this just theory. Tells me that I need to send Nick a bunch of hat clips in the mail, which I'll do.
Yeah. Well, I just only need one, I think.
I have a really specific part of my car in the console that is just my Matchstick golf ball marker, like little caddy. And it's just full. Basically, I have like short tees, Canadian coins, and Matchstick golf ball markers in there. And that has been my trick for not losing them. I've been using the burger for, I don't know, a year now. And I want to use like the Corner Club one that we got, the Arnold Palmer one. But I tell myself, all right, well, inevitably, when I misplace the burger, I'll move on to the next one. But now I just have all these ball markers just sitting here wrapped in plastic, just ready for, because I have such a good system now. So I can't change to the hat clip. I'm happy for everyone that uses a hat clip. It's just not for me.
We'll get you the pin, Joe.
The pin. I'm in.
Yeah, the pin.
Let's make some picks.
Are you ready? Now, we don't have the benefit of the results from the Texas Open or LIV, which is in Hong Kong. We are recording this the Wednesday before the Masters, so we're lacking a little bit of data. I will say I have folks in the field, in both fields, and I hope none of them win. I'm just going to throw that out there. If any of these guys win this week, I immediately will publicly disavow the pick, right? Winning back-to-back, it's just so rare that it happens. With that said, we have the three usual categories that we do for the majors, the winner, the contender, the dark horse, and we've added LIV. LIV is its own category because we want to make sure we don't forget those boys. Who wants to start with their dark horse?
I saw Dane raise his hand, but I actually wanted to start because I've got a fifth pick. So I think if I go first.
I love it. Okay, you're off the board. Go ahead.
I've got a value bet. So this is not somebody I'm picking. It's not one of my picks. I just want the listeners to know about this value bet. Bryson is at 60-1.
Yeah, I saw that.
And if you put $10 on him, you could fund a brand new driver. And if he shoots Bryson par at Augusta for 4 days, you're in luck, baby. 60-1 for Bryson. Who can't afford 10 bucks for that?
So I did notice that. And then I thought to myself, all right, why don't we just check out Bryson's record at the Masters? Do you want to dive into that real quick?
No, why would you do that?
So he did finish T21. That was his best finish as low amateur back in 2016. Here are his finishes since then. T38, T29, T34, T46, cut.
60-1.
I still think it's really good value too. I always envision the scenario when I like pick a golfer or bet on a golfer is like, all right, when I'm like done with lunch and I look at the leaderboard and it says Bryson +4 through 11, like how mad am I going to be? Like what's more likely, that he's going to miss the cut by a mile or win? I'd go miss the cut by a mile, but yeah, good value.
This exactly. just tells me that Nick is spending too much time with Joe. You moved closer. Now you're like, you're thinking about bets like Joe. If Joe starts talking about like swing path all of a sudden, I know you guys can take some time apart.
That's never going to happen. Okay. Who wants to go with their dark horse pick? All right. I'm diving in. No.
Go ahead.
Everyone's too quiet. Here we go. Dark horse at 80-1. This guy finished tied for fourth last year. He has 2 fourth place finishes this year. He's definitely not a household name, but he's a guy who can get hot really, really quickly, and he's an excellent putter. He has top 20 finishes in all 4 majors, so he's not afraid of the big stage. I got him at 80-1 thinking I was getting value, but you can find him now at 125-1, Russell Henley. That's my dark horse pick.
Very nice.
I like that. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that's plus, you know, again, think about it from a betting perspective. That's good value. But I'll go with mine. Mine is good old Sahith Theegala. I think he has been a fun watch. I think we all sort of like we got more introduced to him during Full Swing season 1. He's had a really good year. He's been top 10 3 of the last 5 tournaments. So mm-hmm. like I think he's on a good little run. I think form is important in golf. And it's also, I think you're right, Joe, like as we talk now, like, you know, he was a T28 at the Texas Children's, so it's like, okay, he's not like, he doesn't like need to win, he's not like, you know, have to bet all your money on Scotty or something like that. So I think he's a great dark horse because he could get hot, he could play, he doesn't seem to necessarily sort of crumble under pressure, so I like it.
All right, my dark horse, this guy doesn't have any wins this year, no top 10s this year, but you know, this guy's got some game. He's pretty good off the tee, pretty shaky everywhere else.
Can I already guess who you're gonna pick?
Sure, go ahead.
Is this Phil Mickelson?
No.
Okay.
It's not Phil. This guy has never won at Augusta. He has won majors before, but never at Augusta. His odds aren't very good. His odds aren't very dark horse-esque. It's only 9-1, which I wouldn't take him at that. Somehow this guy's number 2 in the world. It is Rory McIlroy. Any finish from 2nd to a missed cut would be perfectly standard for this guy. To win the tournament, everybody would be shocked. I don't think anybody would anticipate that. So from that standpoint, Rory McIlroy is my dark horse to win the 2024 Masters.
You got some balls coming on this podcast and calling Rory McIlroy a dark horse. I love it. I do love it. There is a rumor, and again, this is probably old news by the time you're listening to this. Apparently, Rory's been working with Butch. So I think people are a little bit more bullish on his chances than they were before they heard that news. Rory hasn't won in a while. He won overseas in January. He almost won back-to-back in Saudi to start the year in Europe. So he did have some wins, but his form's not been great lately. I kind of think that there's a good chance, though, Nick. I like it. I like it's been 10 years since he's won a major. That's a long time.
We've won a major more recently than Rory.
So true. Okay, I'm going to go with my contender. This guy's never won a major. He has won a Ryder Cup, though. He has a second place finish this year. He was kind of screwed by the weather. That was a 54-hole event at Pebble Beach. He finished top 10 at the Players' Championship. This guy's a tall drink of water. At 22-1, I snuck him in at 40-1. Ludvig Åberg, and this is the guy that I'm really worried is going to win this week in Texas and kind of dash his chances for winning the Masters. I know they say that Masters rookies don't win, but I also think we haven't had a weird kind of off-the-beaten-path guy win the Masters. And again, this guy's top 10 in the world, so he wouldn't really fall into that category, but like a Masters rookie still would. Like, there hasn't been a Trevor Immelman. There hasn't been a Danny Willett. There hasn't been I'll throw Zach Johnson in there as well. There hasn't been a Zach Johnson recently who's won the Masters. It's all been like real thoroughbreds, like Rahm and Scotty of late, Sergio, like Hideki, DJ. Like, it's really been A-listers recently. So I wouldn't be surprised if we got kind of an off-the-beaten-path guy. But Ludvig Åberg, and I feel like broadcasters pronounce his name 50 different ways, but that's the one I've heard most recently, so that's why he's my contender.
Yeah, I like that pick, man. That's a good one.
I want to piggyback off of that because I got the guy who won at Pebble Beach this year as my contender.
Oh,
Wyndham Clark.
Yeah.
Somehow, and Joe, you can confirm this. Is he 50? I had him at 50-1. Is he 50-1, Wyndham Clark?
To win all 4 majors?
To win.
No. To win. If you see him at 50-1, I'm going to stop the podcast. Okay. And you're going to put money on him right now.
Yes, plus 5,000, Wyndham Clark.
What? Yeah. To win the Masters?
Yes. I'm on VegasInsider.com/golf/odds/Masters right now.
I mean, I see him at like 30 or 40 to 1. So yes, I suppose that's probably true. Yeah.
He won at Pebble Beach. He's won the U.S. Open. He can do it on the big stage. He's number 4 in the world. 50-1. Let's go.
I love it.
Yeah, my contender as well. Wyndham has either gone this year from being like right around like the 50s and 40s or being like T2 or missing the cut. And it's like, that is the exact kind of contender you are looking for. Like, I think that kind of like almost shapes the idea of a contender where it's like, this guy could get hot and just annihilate everybody. Like, and I think he's, again, like sort of like mentally tough, you know, like toughened up over the past like year or so to be able to like get in that spot. And yeah, like I see him at 40-1, 50-1. Like, I think that's a good bet. I think he's a perfect contender. That was my pick too.
I mean, technically, Rory's the number 2 player in the world, but Wyndham Clark's the 2nd best player in the world right now. Like, it's Scotty, there's a gap, it's Wyndham, and then I think there's probably a little bit of a gap. And again, it's tough to say that with Brooks and Rahm. Who knows what those guys are doing right now? but that's why we added a live category, and I will go first. I'm probably going to pick this guy in the live category for all 4 majors. I just have a hunch that this guy is just going to roll off the couch and win a major. He's actually had a pretty decent season in LIV. He won a tournament earlier this year, had a top 5 finish also. This guy has had, let's see, how many consecutive years? The last time he didn't finish top 10 in a major was 2008, with the exception of 2017. And 2017 was the year where he won 3 straight tournaments going into the Masters and then like fell down some stairs or did too much coke or did something crazy where he couldn't win the tournament, which he would have won. Like, he was in Scotty mode right now in 2017, and then he didn't play. So he's basically not missed a cut or not at a season where he's finished outside of the top 10 in all 4 majors since 2008. I really think that it would be weird if Dustin Johnson finished his career with only 2 major championships. So I don't know if it's this tournament, but it's one of those things. If I was having lunch on Thursday and DJ came out and shot 64 in the first round, literally no one in the world would be surprised by that. And I think he's one of the few players in the world who has that. So I got him at 35-1. I think it's a pretty decent, appropriate number because he could easily shoot 64 or 77 in the first round, and you'll kind of know what's going on from there. But I got DJ.
Yeah, that's actually my pick for LIV too, especially considering where he's sort of like where he's at. He's number 2 in the money list for LIV this year. And just like his track record, the guy who just like his mind is a steel trap that contains nothing on the inside of it. It's not protecting anything. Yeah. So I agree. That's definitely my pick. And yeah, he's 40-1. So he's like a great pick from the LIV side to be sort of in that contender category.
I'm not sure if you guys actually heard this. There's a recent addition to the LIV Golf Tour. His name is. He actually won this tournament already. His name is John Rahm. He's the guy wearing the green jacket to Waffle House this week. He actually is on LIV. You could have picked him for this category. He's the number 3 player in the entire world. The defending champion of this tournament, John Rahm, and that's an easy pick for my LIV category. Thanks for adding that one in, Joe.
I love that. Okay, I'm going to give my winner. I saw him at 40-1 earlier in the season. I almost grabbed him, but I was too cowardly. I got him at 25-1. This is another guy that falls into the category of, I can't believe this guy doesn't have more majors. And also, he is like, I don't know, 7 or 8 years younger always than I think he is. It's Hideki Matsuyama. How old do you guys think Hideki is?
29?
Okay, so you guys know how old Hideki is. I don't. It seems like he's been around forever. He's 32 years old. Hideki has been playing a major championship since 2010, okay? And he's finished top 5 in the Masters 3 times. He won low amateur. He hasn't finished outside of the top 15 the last 4 times he's played it. It just, he's like Rory. When his A-plus game is going, there's basically very few people who can compete with him. He just does it so infrequently now. But he's not injured. He's had a very consistent season. he stole a signature event from Patrick Cantlay. Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele were just farting around in the final group, and Hideki goes out and shoots 63 and wins the things by four shots. I just think Hideki is a stud, and if he gets the right draw on Thursday, Friday, if he gets some right pairings, if he gets hot, he could win this thing by three, four shots. So I got Hideki as the winner at 25-1.
I'm going Scotty on the winner again.
Sure.
He's on the board. Why not take him? I think he's the only guy, maybe one of the only guys in this tournament who doesn't have to play anywhere near his best golf to be able to win. That's a pretty big advantage. He is easily the most dominant player in everything except for putting, and his putting has become above average. So basically, if he just kind of does his thing, it's going to be really hard for people to catch him. If he kind of gets in his own head or kind of stumbles, that's a different story. But he's already won this tournament. He's actually still putting on the last green to kind of try to try to finish out and collect that green jacket. But I'm pretty sure unofficially it's his. He's 9-1. He's the number one player in the world. Sure, I know I'll get a ton of criticism for picking the top four players in the OWGR on these picks. But hey, look, they were available, and I'm trying to put together a solid roster. These are my guys. Nobody else I would rather pick than Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah, I think you're right. Plus, especially like how the way his putting has gone recently. But without looking, and in case Joe, maybe you already looked this up, but could you guess what's the lowest that Scotty has finished in 2024? Does anybody know? You're right. The answer is 17. Are you kidding me? T5, T17, T6, T3, T10, 1, 1, T2. Essentially, we all have to hope that he doesn't win this weekend. And then he definitely has a chance to win at the Masters. So he's absolutely my pick as well. Terrible odds. There's no reason to bet on him unless you're an idiot or a crazy person. But yeah, he's definitely the pick.
To think that Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy have the same odds to win this tournament is crazy.
That's crazy to me.
I do think that if you were to actually go onto a gambling app or Vegas, they are a little bit different. Scotty's something like 5-1, and Rory's more around like 9 or 10-1. So Scotty is a heavy favorite over the top two or three guys. Scotty's definitely the overwhelming favorite going in. Anyone we left on the board that you guys think we need to at least call out?
Brooksy?
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
We did this again. We did this last year. We didn't talk about him. And I mean, he didn't win, but he sure could have.
Here's the way I would posit the whole Rory Scotty thing just for 2 seconds is that if you have Scotty at 4-1 and you have Rory at 10-1, given the context of how Rory has played and the whole context of Rory and the Masters and majors, would you rather put if you had $1,000, rather put money on Scotty at 4-1 and make less money, or put it down on Rory?
It's like make zero money.
Yeah, the answer is Scotty. It's like,
I still remember I was at Nick's place. Well, Nick and I were actually driving to Cape Cod, and so I was dicking around on my phone, and I was looking at Masters odds, and I saw Rory was 10-1 to miss the cut. And I was like, well, that just, I have to do that. And then he missed the cut. Yeah. Like, he was 9-1 to win and 10-1 to miss the cut. So they were saying he's more likely to win the Masters than not be one of the top 60 guys after 2 days. And that's just insane from a numbers perspective. It doesn't make any sense. Especially numbers, it doesn't make sense. And given his history with the tournament, it doesn't make sense. There's a couple of long shots on here that have interesting numbers. Pat Reed is 80-1. He's at a decent number at LIV. He finished second in this tournament last year. Bill Mickelson is hanging out at 150-1 right now. I mean, that lunatic could shoot. I know he could shoot 264s on the weekend easily and take care of business. Besides that, you can kind of go a little bit nuts with it. But yeah, Phil, that one really jumped out at me. And then otherwise, you know, you got like Ricky and Adam Scott and people like that who aren't going to win this golf tournament. But I think it's going to be a really good tournament. I'm very excited. I'm very curious to see what Rory does. Always interesting when the LIV boys kind of get their first crack at everybody, and we'll see what happens.
I just hope we get a good like LIV PGA weekend showdown. Like, I hope the final pairing is
we did
like,
last year,
you know, Rom and I don't know, Scotty, or you know, like DJ and I don't know, Jordan Spieth, who knows, like something cool where it's like you know, we can really get that kind of rivalry going.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That's the first time someone said Jordan Spieth during this podcast.
Well, I'm not sure why we would.
Drink.
Justin Thomas fired Bones. That again, this is such old news by the time you're hearing this, but this just happened today. We're recording this on
Wednesday before the Masters. Would you fire Jim McKay the week before the Masters?
I would if I was playing like Justin Thomas. Not great.
That guy's got a lot of experience at Augusta.
Yeah, I know. JT is, he's in the blender right now. Okay. Do you have a Nick Rules today, Nick?
Of course I have a Nick
Rules. Okay, great. Well, first, it is time for the Mad Golfer of the Week. We're going to Augusta National Golf Club's site of the Masters Invitational Tournament. This is from Ace of Hearts. They're our Mad Golfer of the Week. Quote, "The Masters experience is something not many people get to experience in their lifetime. It's a special tradition that I love experiencing with my family every year. The workers are so amazing and helpful. The reason why I'm giving it a 1-star is because this year was a major letdown. The men attending this event were awful. So rude. Shouting and yelling while the golfers were teeing off. It was horrible. This is a golf tournament, not a football game. Either the Masters needs to get it together and stop this inappropriate behavior from its guests or suffer a new title as a trash event that is no better than the Daytona 500. I was applauded, meant appalled, by the things that these men said to me during the tournament, shouting and complaining while the players were standing right there. And the worst part, security did nothing. That would have never happened 3 years ago. This is the Masters. Have some class. These are grown men who are acting like seventh graders that got drunk. Unbelievable." That's Ace of Hearts.
That review is unbelievable.
There's so much to unpack here. First of all, that like this person, it wouldn't happen 3 years ago, which means this person attends every year.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They also, like they're very upscale, but also they have like a goofy AOL style like display name on their Google review.
Enjoy that.
And then also their references are like from 2002. It's like, what is it, the Daytona 500? Just like, oh my god, dude, what is happening? Just oh my god.
Was it an intentional pun to say that it was a major letdown?
Should have been, but I don't think it was.
You don't think so?
Yeah. Not giving Ace of, they couldn't spell a plot, or they confuse applauded with what were they trying to say?
They were trying to say appalled, and they said appalled.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so probably not the best at wordplay.
Well, look out for someone wearing an Ace of Hearts t-shirt on the broadcast this year. That is your Mad Golfer of the Week. And with that, it is now time for Nick Rules, brought to you by, who is it?
Some company.
Matchstick Golf, use promo code TURN20 at checkout.
Well, last week I talked about some rules that I was happy to break and come clean. Once again, I'm talking about rules that do not apply to any of us. These are specifically rules for the patrons on the grounds of Augusta National. You can't just do whatever you want out there. Ace of Hearts would be happy that I am giving this spiel on the rules at Augusta National. 1 chair/seat will be allowed per person. Chairs/seats with pointed ends, folding armchairs, and rigid type chairs are prohibited. Any chair on the property when the gates are closed or 30 minutes after play will be considered a banded item. No animals or pets are allowed on the ground, except animals necessary and specially trained to assist or guide the physically impaired.
Wait, I have to stop you for 2 seconds.
Okay.
I do not understand what kind of chair is then available. No rigid, no folding, no pointed end. Can you bring like a blow up chair? Like what the fuck are they talking about?
They give you a special chair. You'll notice everybody has the same chair. And it's this rule was probably written to exclude all chairs except for the ones you get at Augusta.
That makes sense.
Which is why we all get to enjoy the stream for free. For player safety and protection, there is a no autograph policy enforced on the golf course. Autograph seeking is only allowed in areas adjacent to the tournament practice area and on the par 3 course during the par 3 contest. Appropriate clothing/shoes should be worn at all times. Golf shoes with metal spikes are not permitted. Now, this one is in red. Electronic devices, including phones, laptops, tablets, and beepers, I'm not sure when the last time they updated this policy was, are strictly prohibited. As opposed to all the things above that are prohibited, these are strictly prohibited on the grounds at all times. Any device being used to record and or transmit voice, video, or data is strictly prohibited. Cameras are strictly prohibited on tournament days.
Sounds
Joe,
fun.
You can't bring your CB radio to the Masters, all right? Don't do that.
No Motorola beepers.
Leave your TI-83 at home. And that was... does. Nick rules. Anything else before we close up shop today, boys?
No, I think we're good. We covered it. I really appreciate you guys having on. And I don't know about you guys, but, you know, something about the Masters. I mean, this is definitely, I see it at Matchstick because sort of like this is when our like selling to like regular golfers season like really kicks off. But man, it is just like, whoo, golf season, baby. Let's go. Like everybody gets all excited. We start golf and stuff. It kind of kicks off. It's like, you know, here in Oregon, it's like it's been sunny and beautiful and now it's going to be crappy. But it's like, ah, I don't know, man, but like, it's going to be crappy. But like, I think we should get out there. So you're all excited. So I'm ready to go. I'm excited.
Rising tide lifting all boats for sure. Very excited for the Masters as well. Thank you, Dane, for being here. Nick, we'll chat very soon. Good luck with the move, and good luck to all of our many picks at the Masters this week.
I'm Lacey Evans. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time at The Turn.